What's up, sir?
Hey, man, how you been?
Man, I cannot complain. We're back at it. That's some of my favorite stuff to be doing.
Solid as a rock.
In a world.
In a world. What are we talking about today, Chris?
We're going to talk about tough conversations.
Oh, this could get spicy.
This could get spicy. A lot of people call it crucial conversations, yeah. Tough conversations. But just, we're going to kind of demystify some of the issues around it and just talk about why it's so tough for people.
Yeah. Avoiding people who avoid conflicts are going to have a tough time with this one.
Oh, my God. It's so crazy. Why are people scared to have tough conversations? Why do you think?
I mean, I think the number one thing is it's either a fear of being wrong, mm-hmm. or it's a fear of rejection.
Mm. Mm-hmm. It's crazy because Harvard did this study and they said 67% of people leaders. Now, that's people who are actually managing people.
They're afraid. Team.
Bro, they're afraid to have a tough discussion with the people that they manage.
Doesn't surprise me at all.
So if you think about that, like how much is customer service being impacted just in this country?
Out the door.
You know, because I don't know if that was just a U.S. study that they did.
Yeah.
But 67% of people are afraid to have a tough conversation. I couldn't sleep at night if I didn't have those, you know, that type of stuff. That's the type of stuff that'll have you growing a tumor.
Ulcers, tumors, all of that.
You know what I'm saying? Heartburn.
Yeah, I think reflux. That there's a certain amount of necessity in compartmentalization, right? Being able to go, hey, I'm going to go into this tough scenario. Is it going to be a good or it's going to be a bad outcome? And then I'm going to put that over here. And then mm-hmm. I'm going to go on to the next one. And at some point, I know I won't just leave it stuffed in that box in the corner. Mm-hmm. I'll have to air that out. But mm-hmm. I can't let that scenario ruin the rest of my day or my week or even worse.
Or whatever your goal is, mm-hmm. right? Like what is it? Are you managing people at a grocery store? Are you managing people at a Chick-fil-A? Or are you running like a kid's soccer team? And I'm going to use that as an example because somehow we become adults. And I almost think it's people are afraid of being the subject of a tough conversation.
Sure.
So I'm not going to have a tough conversation with you because I don't want you having one with me.
That's right.
Right?
Truth or dare.
Listen, you got to tell people. So the kid's soccer, if you got your kid on what's your expectation of your kid being on a soccer team? Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's for them to play, but it's also for them to learn how to play the damn game.
Yep.
And so how would you feel if your kid is out there doing something stupid and the coach isn't correcting them?
Oh, man. I'm having too many flashbacks. I was a coach to my kids when they were young.
Talk to me about it.
That's exactly what you said, right? It's a whole different mind fuck when you're coaching your kids and other people's kids at the same time. Mm-hmm. Because talk about, tough conversations, right? It's a lot of times, parents will be hanging out at practice or hanging out at games and they're like keyed in, like, how are you going to talk to little Johnny?
Yeah.
Why aren't you talking to my kid the same way that you're talking to your own kid? What's going on there? And so to me, that's that tough conversation component mm-hmm. of, I got to treat all these kids the same way. I got to be effective. Mm-hmm. I've got to, or not, but mm-hmm. know that, you're going to have a conversation about it.
Yeah. Listen, don't get me wrong. I know we're living in a new world, right? So there's a mm-hmm. lot of things that we have to accept that we didn't accept that weren't even discussed when we were kids. Damn. I get it. Yep. But that doesn't mean you can't course correct someone.
Correct.
Right. And so if you look at it like that, or even if somebody comes to paint your house and you're like, whoa, you know, that's not the color. You have to correct them. So I think people just need to go back to basics, and it's giving somebody, having a tough conversation. Now, think about wayward children, right?
Yep.
And people who are just, who found themselves in the county jail or somewhere else, right?
Right.
If someone had a conversation with them at some point, that pathway may have gone different. And so stop worrying about the outcome and just really focus on the need to have it.
Yes.
And that's for every, you know, that's for parents, because there's people to listen. I would love just to have a great time with my daughter. But mm-hmm. We can't. She's 17. I'm like, hey, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Right. And I can't just be like, oh, I want her to have a good time. Mm-hmm.
But I'm her buddy.
Yeah, I'm your pal. I just want you to live this great life. No.
Your parent first.
No, get your shit together now.
Exactly.
Right. So, and there's this thing that I say, look, you damned if you do, you damned if you don't.
Yep.
So you might as well do.
You
might as well do. Make the statement, state it with love. You don't have to be an angry, you know, an angry jackass when you make the statement.
Mm-hmm.
But give it to people. Right. Shoot them straight. Because if you don't, especially, you know, if we're talking about the study people leaders, that's going to bite you in the butt. You don't want to have a tough conversation with people on your team. Well, I'm sure whatever you do, there's some type of number that you need to hit. Right. Whether it's a number of phone calls you need to make, whether it's a number of newspapers or ads that you have to sell. If you don't have these tough conversations, guess who it's going to come back on? You.
Exactly.
You.
Same thing. Back.
Same thing for parents. If you don't have tough conversations now, then when it gets time for whatever is in front of you, school or getting into another school, then you're going to be like, oh, my God, it didn't happen. And it's going to make you look like a fool.
And it's going to be too late.
Way too late.
How would you like to find out that when your kids are in their 20s, that you were a bad parent and you're like, oh, I can't go back and fix that.
I can't go back and fix it. And you let them just do whatever they want to do.
Right.
That's part of the problem now. It's like,
mm-hmm.
you know, what does everybody talk about now? You see it. It's technology, and you are an Apple evangelist, if I've ever met one. Okay.
That boy doesn't even come close.
You are, praise the Lordy, Apple. You know what I'm saying? So technology has done a great service for us.
Mm-hmm.
iPads, iPhones. I can do all types of stuff. I can, you know, pass stuff to a fault.
Chopping us off at the knees.
And so now, look. Kids, iPads,
mm-hmm.
right? They can get on YouTube. They can watch all of these shows, Bluey. It's all types of stuff that's yeah. out here to kids and stuff. And I'm always in the, you know, I'm a cartoon guy. So I'm like, oh, what's this about? Mm-hmm. Everybody watching this? What's Coco Melon about? What's this about? Right. But the problem is parents don't want to have a tough conversation.
Right.
Okay, you get an hour a day, and that's it. If those are the rules, those are the rules.
Right.
No, they cry. Okay, cry.
Right.
Right? And you get places, and I don't even know if we talked. Yeah, we talked about it a little bit, but, you know, people on planes talking about raw dogging. Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, you got to teach your kid how to raw dog. Can your kid raw dog a meal?
Right.
Right. Can you take your kid to, I don't know, the Outback and let them raw dog a meal with you without having to have full headgear on,
mm.
full iPad out, or the worst are the people who have their kid with their iPad out and they're just, you know, no earphones and it's like blaring.
Oh, please no.
Come please on, bro. No.
Please no.
Have a conversation with little Billy, please.
Yep. Because then I'm the person that has to have a conversation with Big Billy. Like, hey, bro, you might want to put some headphones on. And that's a 37-year-old dude. Like, bro, nobody told little Billy. And you know now Big Billy's a pain in my ass. So thank you for that.
Yeah. And you know what? You know what I found? Boomers are a big culprit of it. They like to have a speakerphone on. Hey, that's not my conversation.
Yes, you know what I'm saying?
Right. And I don't know, maybe it's like, oh, you know, I want everybody to know I'm talking to Uncle Roger. No, mm-hmm. I don't want to hear that. So it's obviously tough for people. Mm-hmm. So one of the things I think we can do is like try and help people. Okay. So it's four easy stages that you can go through when you're going to have a tough conversation. For those of you out there that are afraid to talk to your kid, your spouse, your brother, mother, cousin, and most importantly, somebody on your team or someone you work with, it could be a coworker, right? Mm-hmm. The first thing that you want to do in any, let's just say, let's pick a topic. First topic that comes to your head that somebody needs to have a tough conversation about. I know I'm putting you on the spot, but just
wheel it. We're talking to adults or kids? We're talking to adults?
Yeah, let's do adults. Kicks and giggles.
Man.
Now you're on the spot. Yeah, I wasn't ready. Now I got you on the spot. You want to throw all types of trivia questions at me.
Well, I got more. Just you wait.
Okay. Let's just say, let's go back to customer service.
Okay.
Okay. So we want to improve our customer service score. Okay. So first and foremost, the first thing that you want to do in a conversation is you want to define where you want to go. Right. What do I want to do? Okay. I want us to improve our customer service score.
Yeah.
All right. That's the purpose of this conversation. So, you know, Alex, say, hey, man, look, I want to sit down with you. I want to talk about where we're at and then how we can improve this score. Right.
Yes.
It's not like it doesn't scare the hell out of somebody because, you know, people are super worriers. Right. Mm-hmm. Not warriors, but worriers.
Yeah.
So it kind of sets the stage. The very first thing you want to do, if I'm having that conversation with you, is accept some responsibility. And that can be controversial for people because people are like, well, why the heck would I do that? And it's to calm them down.
Yep.
So it's not always about you. It's the fact that you're about to tell somebody some issues that they're probably going to be like, their heart rate's going to go up.
Mm-hmm.
Right. They're going to get chest palpitations. They may sweat. They may think that their job is on the line. And how are people normally, you know, how do they act when they're like that? They're not
normal. Takes the edge of attack out.
Come on. So what you're doing is you're like, hey, you know, maybe I didn't do or show you things the way I could have shown you.
Mm-hmm.
OK, I might have been avoiding it. And so what it does is one, it cuts the edge. Right. And so by doing that, you diffuse their emotions immediately.
Yeah.
So even if they just screwing up the whole deal, you can say, hey, you know what? I want to take a little responsibility. I probably didn't explain this explicitly. OK.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense. So yeah. Then with that, it honors them. And then they can listen because they don't feel like they under attack. You feel me?
I do.
What's your thoughts around that? Because I've told people that. And sometimes people are like, well, I don't want. Why am I accepting responsibility for something that I didn't do?
No, I think it's mandatory, right? Is it's accountability, I think, is one of the biggest trend spirals we've got going on right now. Is it's because nobody wants to be guilty. Nobody wants it to be their problem. It's just a big finger pointing match. So if you can just take that out and go like, you know, you start to use words like we instead of you and start to talk about like how we are going to fix this together. It's like, oh my gosh. So all of a sudden it's like, oh, okay, we're in this together. I'm not alone. I'm not on an island. You don't think I'm some piece of crap. I don't need to worry. I'm not, maybe I'm not going to get fired today, you know, and now I can actually have a clear head as this person in this scenario. And I can actually listen, right? Because that's the thing. Right. You want this person to hear you. You want that's this person to improve. So sit down with them. Don't sit on top of them.
Yeah. And part of that is, and it's not everyone's fault, but some of us have not been given the opportunity to have a tough conversation in this manner.
It's a unique thing for some people.
It is. Some people, they're just like, oh, it's time for a tough conversation. Well, you're going to yell at me and throw dishes. Right. Like, you know what I'm saying? So now they think that's how they have to have a tough conversation.
Yeah. They're just going to buckle in and like clam up and wait for the dishes to stop breaking.
Yeah. Clam up. And then it's just like, oh, are we through this? You know, do I have to call the cops?
Can I take out my mouth guard now?
Yeah, you don't have to do that. So you set the stage by accepting responsibility. I probably, you know, this is where I want to go. I probably could have, you know, done this better. And then you give them the opportunity to speak. It's not like over talking. So now it's time to listen. Right. So now you want to listen and they need to say what they need to say. Right. 100%. So and allow them to react. And instead of arguing and debating back and forth, you know, coulda, shoulda, woulda, who said this, who said that, listen and validate what they're saying. Right. And then when you do that, it's easier for you to be like, hey, you know what, Alexei, I could see how that could be confusing.
For sure.
Right.
Absolutely. However, it's you got to go both ways with it, too. Right. Like if you're. You know, not all of us are big boss managers and some of us have to feel, you know, some of us need to get the rage from other people. But I'll tell you, if you're on the other side of that scenario and you know, and you are that person, it's like, oh, let me get out my mouth guard or I'll buckle up. I mean, this guy's going to come at me or person, you know, the single biggest tool that I found is a way to diffuse a scenario is just what we've been talking about, accountability. You know, some if you see somebody coming at you, you know, metaphorically like a freight train. Yeah, I had a part in that. This, you know, I could have done that better. And immediately it's like,
now the person who's coming at you is like, okay, I'm not okay. This person takes ownership.
Yep.
And we can. Okay, we can move this freight train forward.
Exactly.
So you spot on. It's not just the person giving it, but if you're receiving it, don't act like you're, you know, God's gift to the world.
Right.
When you know that you're not.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and I think a lot of that sometimes is just some massive defensiveness from people.
Yeah. They don't want to be wrong. And again, it's that, that whole thing. It's like, if I admit that I'm wrong, then I've failed. And so I'm going to... You know, I might I'm going to be this master debate person and not admit and my not fault
take and not take responsibility.
You're still not having the difficult conversation.
And you're not fixing it because you're not listening.
Exactly.
Right. So excellent point. It's both sides. But then when you allow them to speak. Right. You know, they're going to feel validated.
Yes. Everybody wants to feel heard.
And that's it. And some people, again, like I said, some people don't even know what this is.
Not at all.
And so it's going to be new. But the second you validate somebody, they immediately stop defending themselves.
Yep.
And what's the whole purpose? The purpose is to, you know, the purpose is to get better customer service scores.
Right.
Right. The purpose is not for you to die on a hill saying it wasn't your fault. It was Debbie's. It was Rick's. Right. And you know, you did everything right. If everybody owns up to what they need to, we're going to be in a better situation.
Exactly.
Right.
I mean, it's that same thing, right? It's like, don't come into a scenario and say, nope, that's wrong. Nope, that's wrong. Nope, that's wrong. And not have a solution or an idea on how to improve it. You got to always flip that both ways. And so that's important in any difficult conversation.
Yeah. And so by validating them, you're like, boom.
Yes.
You know, I hear you. Now, you know, what is the end goal again? The end goal is for us to get better scores.
Exactly.
How do we improve on our customer service? And let me just tell you, these conversations, they're not fun. You're going to have to, you may play a little tennis back and forth with people. And it may take multiple conversations. You may have to come back. Might get stuck in deuce
for a while.
Yeah, deuce. But acknowledge your responsibility. Have an outcome in mind. Where do you want to be?
Yep.
Right. This is where we want to be. And then keep talking until you get there. Ask them for solutions. You can have an idea like, OK, you need to get better organized. Right. We need to put you through some sensitivity training. It could be all types of stuff. But allow them to play a role in it.
And you're a ninja at that, Chris. Like that's a big thing. Like you will be, I mean, you get this, but the audience listening, you will be blown away that if you're in a person of responsibility or a supervisor or a manager, and you ask that person, how would you like to improve this? What do you think that this could happen? The ownership and the confidence and the inspiration that can come out of being able to do that is amazing. It's not that far away from something my dad used to do when I was a kid. He would tell me, he would be like, you know, in a good or a bad, right? Mm-hmm. Hey, how do you think you did there? You know, what do you think you should do differently? What do you think your punishment should be? Mm-hmm. Or what do you think your reward should be? Mm-hmm. And the tennis that would go on in my brain was so much more healthy and so much more on a path. And so I just want to acknowledge how effective that's been by living underneath that scenario like you.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. It takes work. It takes work. And what I'll tell people is even, you know, the other thing that you want to do is you want to find that advisor that we talked to you about.
Yes.
And practice it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you might be in a situation where it might be too close for comfort and people don't need to know the names, but you can just practice it.
Yeah, just come up with a spicy topic and debate it.
Debate it, go back and forth. So you set yourself up because it's going to be emotional for you as well.
For sure.
But if you do it enough times, then you take the emotion out of it. And as a people leader, it's got to be quick. Right. What do quarterbacks do as soon as they come off the field? They start looking at the plays. Oh, you ran that route, but I threw the ball too far. Oh, my bad. OK. It's like we have to get into this place where we're doing self-analyzation consistently. And when you do self-analyzation consistently, it's going to be easier for you to figure out what you could have done differently.
Right.
And I don't want to miss this point, but you said it. When you're validating and listening and then asking people what they think, they're closest to that fire, especially if you're managing them, they're closest to it. Listen, the big three, right? I'm a Motor City guy. Mm-hmm. If you ever get the opportunity, and a lot of people have and some haven't, but to walk around a plant, it's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Because what's happening is most plants have they have a board, and it's like an efficiency board. And it's, you know, some people are going to be like, it's not called that. It's called this. But essentially, there are guys that are on the line that are coming up with ideas on how to make things easier. Right. And then they're getting bonus for it. And it was like the first time I saw that, it was incredible. And it's just like, oh, this person saved us. This person saved us 10 minutes and, you know, this amount of money per vehicle.
Yep.
And so if you walk on the line with people, it's like, listen, if you get this to me and that nut is halfway screwed on already, then that's going to cut down time for me. I can just twist that down, put this frame on top. And it's ridiculous the amount of decisions that are being made from basically, now don't get me wrong, people at the plant make a lot of money, but if you think about it, at the lowest level of the pyramid.
Exactly.
The lowest level of the pyramid, they're like, hey, guess what? We can help you, we can help you save X amount of dollars on this F-150 versus what you could come up with from the C-suite.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. So use that opportunity to have a tough conversation, to come out and say, what can we do better? Right. How can I help you? How can I help lead you better? And what, you know, what efficiencies or deficiencies do you see?
True. Couldn't agree more.
Well, that was a good topic, bro.
That was great.
Tough conversations. Listen, they're not easy, but listen, acknowledge some responsibility that like cuts the edge, define the outcome. Mm-hmm. Hey, I want us to get here. I want our scores to be better. I want our sales to be better. And let them tell you what they think. And when they are speaking, you let them speak and you validate, even if it's poppycock. Oh, well, I can see how you can possibly go that way.
Right.
Because the end goal is to get to, you know, a solution. Right. Right? And then restate that outcome and then figure out where you guys land. What did you want to say to that?
I mean, I hate saying it, but I can't put it any better than you just said it. That's perfectly said.
Yeah. It's easy. It's easy if you practice it, and guess what? You'll sleep better at night because the last thing you want to do is go home and spend your time bitching and complaining about somebody that you didn't have a conversation with.
Right.
It's the worst.
Yeah. I mean, and remember that at both sides of that, you can steer that towards a positive outcome, no matter how dark the conversation is, everybody's going to feel better and you're going to be able to stand on top of that in the next scenario.
Yeah. As they say in the streets now, stand on business.
Exactly.
Standing on business.
All right, man. You ready for some trivia?
Okay.
What do you want? You want pop culture or you want...
Throw anything at me.
You got... Okay. Do you know who Riley Keough is?
Riley Keough?
Yep.
Is that the pop culture question?
No.
Okay.
She's an actress. She's been in like American Horror Story. She's been in a couple things.
Okay.
She has a pretty famous granddad. I wanted to know if you knew who her granddad is.
Riley Keough. American Horror Story. Okay. No, I don't like the design of your question.
I could tell. I'm going to ask you another one, but it's Elvis Presley.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
think about this or that, right? So then we can go that way. So.
Okay. There's a planet in our solar system that has 145 moons. Mm. Is it Neptune or is it Saturn?
It's Saturn.
It is Saturn.
Yeah.
Good job.
Nice. I listened during science.
Yeah, science is good.
Science was great, man. Well, listen, bro, another great day.
That was good stuff, man.
Hey, man, thank you all for listening. If you wherever you listening to this at, give us a like, give us a subscribe, and most importantly, pass it on to a friend or family member who will get something out of this. We want to keep delivering this to you.
Can't wait.
So appreciate you, my brother.
Appreciate you, man.
Peace.
Peace.